Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter. I'm a commodity broker here at StoneX. I work with producers and end users, hedgers and speculators in the futures and options markets, also OTC, swap structured products. And for our hedgers, our producers and consumers, also do cash consulting. If you have any questions for me and what I do here, you can always give me a call at 312-706-7610 or email craig.turner@stonex.com. If you want to check out my newsletter, please go on over to turnerstake.com. If you like the podcast, please go to iTunes, give us a positive review. Feel free to share the podcast. That's how people find us. And if you're a client, you like what you hear, we need to make some changes, whether it be futures, options, OTC, cash marketing, buying or selling, let me know. You can always give my cell phone a call too. All right, so let's get into it. Couple of things. We'll start off macro data. I actually was going to do this podcast yesterday, but I wanted to see the inflation numbers and the WASD. But let's talk about inflation. The United States CPI came out this morning. It was like 8.3 or 8.4%. Higher than everyone was expecting. It actually went back down to like 6-something last month. So to be above 8 again, it's probably was a surprise. And that's year over year. And inflation year over year is as high as it's been since 1981. That's not a good stat. So, you know, we're seeing inflation in the United States. We're seeing inflation in Canada. We're seeing it in the European Union. We're seeing it in the United Kingdom. And also along emerging markets, food and energy are a big part of it. So let's get into energy first. On the inflation front, crude oil, that has been holding strong. I mean, the spot month last I looked was either trading in the high, you know, like 118, 119, low 120s. And when I talked to our energy desk, you know, basically what they're saying is, you know, there's demand is outstripping supply. What's interesting is there is enough supply out there. But if we're not drilling or we're not putting money into fossil fuels, then and only renewable, you know, then we're going to have basically a supply issue until renewables can catch up. I don't know if that's going to happen anytime soon. So it will be, and I don't know how much longer people are going to put up with these kind of prices, but that is what's going on. What's even more interesting is, you know, RBOB gasoline over $4. We're hitting some highs on the gasoline, you know, all-time highs, which is interesting because crude isn't, but the products are. And I talked to our commercial desk about that too. And, you know, their point was, listen, you know, we just don't have the refining capacity is the issue. I looked into it a little bit more, and you take even look just at the government, you know, U.S. government people, and they say that, you know, some of their websites are saying, you know, we haven't built a new refinery since the 70s, and there's not a lot of money going into it or to keep it up. You know, for whatever reason, banks and investment funds don't want to be involved in fossil fuel projects. When I talk to my own clients here at StoneX, you know, that are involved in agriculture, but also may be involved in energy, as you know, maybe kind of medium-sized to smaller players, especially when you compare it to Exxon or something like that, they have a hard time just getting any kind of funding from their banks on energy plays if it's, you know, if it has to do with fossil fuels and not renewables. So that is a big issue. Different administrations have had different thoughts on it. You know, this current one is much more into renewables. The previous one, I think was just, dedicated to energy independence. And the one before that, which going all the way back to Obama, he was, all of the above. Let's do it all, and kind of ushered in a new wave of different types of renewables along with fossil fuels. So I don't know. It seems like things may change. If they do, maybe prices can come down. It's not going to be at the moment. And now that we're at the, we're now heading into summer, full speed, probably see a higher demand, especially for, gasoline. What's also interesting too about natural gas, let's switch on over to natural gas, is when I talk to the energy desk, what they're saying is, we can only, and I've been saying this for a while, it's true that you can only get about, you only get so much liquid natural gas out of the country for export, right? Because that's how it gets exported. And a lot of it has to do, it's not that we can't process it here, but it has to do with shipping. And you have to have special cargo and ships to get liquefied natural gas out of the country. It's not, bulk, where you're just loading into a container and sending it off. It's a little bit more specialized that. But what is interesting, and it is bulk, and you can move around a lot easier, is coal. And there's a lot of electricity facilities here in the United States and in Canada, too, that can switch between both. So if anyone who is dependent on coal for, let's say, electricity generation can switch over to natural gas, the coal then that's not used here in North America can be used elsewhere. But it does drive up prices for natural gas because there'll be more natural gas demand, more natural gas usage. So I thought that was interesting because we were a little puzzled for a while why natural gas was going over $7, and that would be it. And the market finds a way, if they really need coal in Europe and in Asia, it'll just get diverted from North America, and North America can use more of the natural gas here. So I found that very interesting. And that's, that kind of explains what's going on in the energy markets. The biggest head scratcher here is after talking with all these experts, there is no shortage of fossil fuels. Someone was explaining to me that there's something like 400 years of energy just buried underneath Pennsylvania. So, and it's just, you just got to go, it's just, are we going to be able to go and do something about it? So we'll see. I don't want to get into policy here, but that is the, with inflation and everything else, that is part of the story. When it comes to the grain markets, let's get into the WASD. We're going to go grains and then oil seeds. The WASD was today. It's numbers for the U.S. and also the global numbers. I thought corn was just a tad bit bearish, ending stocks came up a little bit. Thought wheat was just a little bit bearish with ending stocks coming up. And I thought soybeans were a little bit bullish with ending stocks going down. In theory, that will be supportive for canola also, maybe in the short term. In the long term, I take a look at these supply and demand tables. I'm not that bullish on canola. So let's get into the grain markets first. Corn, here's the thing with corn and wheat, and whether it be winter wheat and spring wheat. The Ukraine Black Sea issue just hangs over the head of all this, because on paper, the corn number isn't that bullish. But how much can you really count on corn exports out of the Black Sea? So that's number one. Are we gonna be your 9 or 10 million metric tons, or is it gonna be more? Is it gonna be less? So, and you almost could, there is this weather, this ridge building in central part of the U.S., where it really looks like Minnesota and the Dakotas are going to get the brunt of it. Man, they just can't catch a break up there. With this ridge forming, it looks like Canada will be okay. And so will, part of the southern Midwest and western part. But we'll have to keep an eye on that. So, barring that, it just seems like corn, in the market is keeping this premium into to where we are being over $7, more to do with the Black Sea than anything else. Because on paper, corn shouldn't be trading above $7. I don't think so anyways. But when you because the ending stocks, account for Ukraine. Their production still is there, even though they can't get it out of the country, it's still there. And as far as major exporters, I mean, there are ways for Ukraine to get it out of the country just in a limited fashion. It probably goes through Europe. And what does that all really mean? And the USDA really doesn't comment on that. They're just, kind of a bean counter at the moment, saying that it exists with not actually commenting on the logistics and if it actually can get to market. So that's probably my number one complaint right now. And I think it's tough for the market and everyone else to figure out where we are. The wheat market's more bullish on paper than the corn market is, with I think spring wheat being the most bullish. When I It's a maybe it's a close. It's close between spring wheat and also hard red winter wheat. Soft red wheat is definitely the least bullish of the three. When you take a look at the ending stocks, the acreage issues that we're having in the northern part of the United States, and how tight things are and how important it is that we need a good spring wheat crop out of Canada, there should be more premium associated with the spring wheat over the winter wheat. Some of the ending stocks that we might see here in the wheat market could get pretty tight, especially the spring wheat. I mean, I think we could be at a 20% stock to usage. That does warrant high prices. How high is going to be completely dependent on a couple of things. Do acres come down here in the United States and how things go in Canada? I think Canada was able to plant a lot. I know Manitoba had, certainly had delays. And Alberta probably was the best off with planting, with Saskatchewan being in the middle. It does look like everything will eventually get planted, or most of the crop for spring wheat and canola too. And hopefully they have a good growing season. If they do, the tightness or the prices that we'll see, let's say in the fall, are going to be completely dependent, I think, on what is actually moving out of the Black Sea, because that's their harvest too. And that's their big time of year when the grain leaves. And if it's leaving the Black Sea and we can, and it can get to its traditional destinations and buyers, great. If not, could be, I think the prices in North America, United States and Canada would be very sensitive to the upside if we are not getting wheat. Because the spring wheat is coming out of Russia and the hard red winter wheat typically comes out of Ukraine, but they'll all just trade together. So that remains to be seen, but the high quality, high protein wheat is really what's going to be an issue here. Just my opinion, but that's what I'm seeing and reading through it. Again, the USDA isn't telling you that outright, but they're also not, they're really not dealing with this Black Sea issue as much as they should be. And when we get into the oilseed market, soybeans were bullish with ending stocks coming down. Soybeans and soy oil and soy meal have been a substitute for canola, and canola meal. That's going to be supportive for oil seeds overall. It's going to be interesting to see if we increase acres. The June 30th report is basically seeded acres as of June 1. We'll probably see an uptick in soybean acres. And as we go forward, I would think we see an uptick in soybean acres in South America. And that'll have a little bit of a bearish weight on things as we go forward. But for right now, for the next 4 to 6 weeks, we're going to be in a weather market. You take a look at the weather forecasts on the map. Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota are going to be going to get the brunt of the hot and the dry. That'll Mark will be very sensitive to that. Farmers in the rest of the United States and Canada may benefit just from higher prices, but still having a pretty decent crop. Unfortunately, at that north at the Northern Plains expense, but it's kind of seems that's how it it works sometimes. I think that's where and that's what I'm looking at when I look at the WASDE. And what to expect in the next 4 to 6 weeks, where prices are going, how tight or not tight we are on the balance sheet. It's fairly neutral to corn, and corn is completely reliant probably on the price direction. Yeah, about the Midwest, but also about the Black Sea. Same for wheat. Soybeans has a little bit more going on in its favor for acreage expansion, not just the acres they pick up now, but the acres that they will pick up in South America. When I take a look at canola, the balance sheet gets a lot better this year. We had a, you know, they had the drought last year in Canada. We lost 7 million metric tons of grain that we had to basically price ration. This year, with 20 plus million acres and an average trend line yield, maybe Canada only has to price ration 1 million metric tons. So prices probably shouldn't be over 1,000. And then when you take a look at what the acreage mix looks for, you know, in 23, 24, what I see is the canola side of the equation going back to normal, and whatever the new normal is, whether it be on the board like 500 or 600 or, you know, per bushel 12, 13, 14, whatever that may be, it settles out somewhere there. For soybeans also, I can see, even with acreage just staying at 90 million here in the United States, acreage in South America will increase, and I can see canola and soybean stocks getting better year over year. Like, we'll have one more year of tightness, but it won't be as tight as last year. And then in the cycle after that, we should go back to adequate stocks, barring any kind of drought. Again, the huge, and I would say the same thing for corn and wheat, but the whole wild card is going to be the Black Sea here. So all said and done, I would say if I'm a spec trader, I'm probably wanting to get long, not huge long, but rather be in the long side for the next 4 to 8 weeks while the crop's being made. If I'm a producer, I'm using these rallies to seriously catch up on new crop sales and probably be looking to selling next year's sales too, next year's crop too. Start getting there. If I'm a buyer and a consumer, I would say you can hold off on purchases for next year. But my one big concern is not just a price hike, but if there's something goes wrong with this crop or the Black Sea, I'm not even concerned that much about the price. I mean, the prices are going to be high. I'm almost more concerned about the availability. So any kind of break, any kind of, if you need to get coverage, I think it's going to be very difficult to find physical product out there in North America for the next, between now and mid-July. Reason being is cash prices seem to be on fire. It's very difficult to get anything. I don't care if it's winter wheat or spring wheat, soybeans, canola, corn. It all seems strong. And you have to ask yourself, did the USDA and Stats Canada, did they overestimate production? Probably not. Are there a lot of farmers who are holding on to the last of old crop until they're confident that new crop is made? I think that's more likely, which means we're not going to pollination here in corn or pod setting for soybeans. And I mean, pollination for corn still, the bulk of the country is still at least 4 weeks away, maybe even a little bit longer. And pod setting, and for US soybeans, we're talking really talking August at this point. And those are the two markets that will not just break corn and soybeans, but also the wheat, the wheat market and canola if we have big crops here. So between now and then, I don't see a ton of product coming onto the market. You could probably see the spreads really widen out as end users try to find coverage. And so if you are an end user, I mean, I think you got to secure, bite the bullet, secure whatever you need for the next 6 weeks, and hopefully have a big crop. Black Sea become, I mean, knocker, man. I even just hate saying this, but if the Black Sea becomes an issue and we don't have a good crop here, I am concerned about availability, which is something we haven't been concerned about since 2012. And since it was more of a corn issue, it ended up being just less feed for livestock and less corn for ethanol. The problem with the wheat market when you have a supply concern and also rice is that it is, and we use 85% of the wheat domestic use for food. That's probably the same for the rest of the country, for the rest of the world. So, you can't downshift like you can with corn and soybeans, where you don't use it for energy or you don't use it for feed. It can, whatever you need for human consumption, whether it be cooking oil or, field corn is used for, tortillas. I know it's not sweet corn, but there are some, syrup corns here. But there are food products that come out of corn. But with wheat, it's really difficult. I mean, wheat really is, you know, depending on where you are in the world, is the most used, you know, food for calories, you know, for a population. And while in North America and in Europe and some other developed economy, you know, economic nations out there, your inflation is what will be talked about. But if you're in an emerging market, a poor nation, it's not, you know, it's availability, and that's where things get very concerning. So we'll have to keep an eye on, clearly we'll have to keep an eye on all this, but those are my big takeaways from the WASDE. There is more to read between the lines than in a normal report, and we'll just, you know, keep you informed as we go. I hope everyone has a great weekend. Thanks for listening. The next big report, it'll be a bigger report than this, is the one at the end of June, where we see the acreage estimates. And my last thoughts on that is, I wouldn't be surprised if we resurvey. I mean, you know, it's acreage as of June 1, I believe, or it's stocks as of June 1. And then the acreage is estimates. I want to say the surveys are done in early June. So, I mean, what ends up happening with acres in Minnesota, and North Dakota, and that's still being finalized now. And if I can see the USDA putting out their acreage number at the end of June and having a special note about being resurveyed. So, which, if that's the case, probably bullish because the acres would have to come down. But we'll see. Those are my thoughts for now. If you need anything, you can call me 312-706-7610. Email is craig.turner@stonex.com. Have a great weekend, everyone, and I'll talk to you next week.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors, such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.